Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Vermilion's National Music Museum is home to the world's earliest known cello. But since June, the 16th century Amati King cello has been on loan to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. Given its rarity and value, the stringed instrument rarely leaves South Dakota. And joining us now for more about the Amati King cello is National Music Museum Curator of Stringed Instruments, Arian Sheets. And Ms. Sheets, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, how significant is this instrument?
It's extremely significant for the development of violin family instruments and the development of the lower end of the violin family, the bass violin originally, later the cello.
And how did the National Music Museum come to get this cello?
Well, the King originally came as part of our Witten Rollins collection of musical instruments. They had belonged to Lawrence Witten, who was a rare book dealer and violin collector in Connecticut. And the museum acquired the entire collection in 1984.
Now, this is quite a jewel in the museum's collection.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Andre Amati, the maker, was the first known violin maker in Cremona. Cremona, Italy, in Tuscany, is the place that Stradivari worked, the entire Amati family, Guarneri, a lot of names that even non-musicians mm-hmm. would know. Andre Amati was the first one that we know of. And so the form of the violin as we know it today was really crystallized in Amati's workshop in that time period.
So Amati, when we see a violin today, hear a violin today, Amati is the guy that pretty much came up or developed the modern violin?
Well, there were two competing schools, Brescia and Cremona. And they were made slightly differently. The techniques of building were a little bit different. I would say that Cremona has had a larger impact on how instruments are made today than Brescia has.
So this instrument, it's called the King Cello. Why is that?
It's called the King Cello because right now it bears the armorials of King Charles IX of France. There were a whole set of instruments that had his painting related to him. The painting was done in the 1560s. We currently believe that the cello may predate that painting. It's actually earlier than the painting. We do have a fragmentary instrument in the collection that was painted for his father, Henry II. It's the only one that has that painting that's an Amati. That's earlier, that's 1536 to 1559. So we know that there were instruments in the French court made by Amati quite early on. So we're not entirely sure when the King may have been made, but we think it's a little bit earlier than this painting.
Well, let's hear a sample of what this instrument sounds like. Here's a few seconds of the National Music Museum's Amati King Cello. How would you describe the sound of that cello?
Well, it's a fairly bright sound. It's very even. The instrument in its current setup is the type that would have been used in the early 19th century. It was modernized, slightly reduced in size, and set up with its current neck in the early 19th century. So it's really representative of France in the early 19th century right now.
So you said it was modernized, it was altered. This is not the exact instrument that Amati made. I mean, it is the instrument, but it's been changed in some ways.
Yeah, and a lot, I mean, if you think about it, there are not many objects that were made in the 1500s that are still used for their original purpose mm-hmm. today, but instruments are one of those class of objects. And they do change over time. The demands of the music are different. They undergo lots of repairs. Instruments are very fragile objects. What happened with large violas and what we now call cellos that were really bass violins in the 16th century was they were extremely large. They were designed to be played in consorts, in groups of instruments, rather simple lines. Toward the end of the 18th century and the advent of classical music, the music got much more virtuosic. And in the century before that, in the late 1600s, there came to be these slightly smaller instruments, what they called the violoncello, smaller than the bass violin, about 10 centimeters smaller. And a lot of the large instruments from the earlier period were cut down. They were reduced in size. They would remove wood from the center and from the upper portion and lower portion to make a smaller instrument, because these were very valuable instruments. They were very treasured. And so they were recycled and modified to make them useful to the current needs of the time. Just like you'd have an 18th century house, you wouldn't have an outhouse. You'd put a bathroom in it. You'd put a kitchen in it.
So other changes to this cello as well, other than reducing it, were extra strings added or anything like that? Or
it's possible that the instrument was originally a three-string instrument. Or it could have been four strings. It's a little unclear from the holes in the peg box, where the pegs are, where you tune the instrument. But it could have been either three or four strings. But yeah, the neck has been modernized. But this is entirely to be expected for an instrument of this age.
Did Andrea Amati make other cellos?
Yeah, there are at least two other examples that survive, but they're not, they've been equally or more greatly modified than this one, and they don't have their original scroll. So this one is probably the most intact of the three.
Now you mentioned that this instrument was originally a part of a whole set.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that original set, how many of the instruments in that original set survived over the years?
Well, there are several of them. I mean, there's a violin of the Charles IX set. We don't know if this instrument was originally part of an earlier set. The Charles IX set, there's one in Cremona, there's in the Ashmolean Museum, there's a viola. There are other examples out there, some in private hands. But there are also other sets. There's we have at the museum, like I mentioned, this Henry II set that has his motto. There's also one that says, "By this one bulwark, religion stands and will stand." And that one may have been made for the wedding of Philip II of Spain and Elizabeth of Valois in 1559. There are probably even more of those surviving. And then later on, there was a set by Andrea Amati's sons, who for Henry IV, so much later in the 16th century.
It's interesting hearing you talk about this instrument, because this is so related to European history, that by studying this instrument, this Amati King cello, getting its, you know, finding out where it's been, its other parts of its family, other related instruments, that you get a sense of a little bit of European history as well.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole reason I believe that these instruments were in France was goes back even earlier to Francis I, who was Henry II's father, the grandfather of Charles IX. And he wanted to bring France into the Renaissance. And he was bringing a whole bunch of Italian artists, artisans, architects to Italy to modernize it. And I believe that's the impulse that this came out of, bringing this Italian Renaissance culture to France.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with the National Music Museum Curator of Stringed Instruments, Arian Sheets. We're talking about the museum here in Vermilion, their 16th century Amati King cello. It's on loan to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York this summer. How often is this instrument played?
Very, very rarely. Mm-hmm. It's been used a couple of times since I've been here. Once was for we had a huge conference in 2005 relating to the history of Cremonese making, and that was about the 500th anniversary of the birth of Andre Amati. We don't know exactly when he was born, but we think it was about 1505. And then it was played for the when we had Prairie Home Companion here on campus a number of years ago, but it doesn't get played very often.
Is that just because these instruments are so fragile and rare that you really want to preserve them, and if they're played regularly, then there's a danger of them deteriorating more?
Particularly with this instrument, because it has 16th century painting on it, It is very sensitive. I mean, any sort of scratches or wear can significantly compromise the historical integrity. So we're extra careful with anything that has original painting on it.
And how is it that over the years that the original painting has survived?
Well, if you look at the instrument, you see quite a bit of it has worn off. It's just luck. I think there are definitely examples we've seen where the painting has intentionally been removed from some of these instruments because of various political conflicts involving, you know, the French Revolution, changes in use. So it's just happenstance that it survived and luck.
What does it mean to the National Music Museum to have this instrument on loan to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York?
Well, it's very exciting. It allows us to reach a different audience, people that may not make it out here. A lot of people are going to get to see it and learn about the instrument and be able to learn about us as well. It's not the only instrument we have on loan. We actually have the presidential saxophone, the Bill Clinton saxophone, on loan as well. So we have two instruments there, and it's really neat to be able to share that. We've got a great relationship with the Metropolitan Museum of Art. We have staff members there that used to work here, and vice versa. So it's great to collaborate with our colleagues.
What does it take what sort of precautions need to be thought of when you're taking an instrument like this and sending it to New York City? I imagine this is not just putting it in a box and shipping it on an airplane.
Oh no, this is it's extremely stressful, and it requires a lot of planning. In this case, an art moving firm, designing a crate to transport it in. It's it's a risk, and ultimately we are responsible. If we're the ones that pull the trigger to do a loan, if something happens, we're the ones responsible. So it's very stressful.
And when does it come back?
It comes back this fall again. I think it's September. I'm not sure the exact date, but it's I think at roughly 6 months it's out there.
So is there a sense of a little bit of nervousness before it comes back home that, you know, you hope it'll make it back?
And, we're always nervous when we transport instruments, absolutely.
Well, Erin Sheets, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That's Erin Sheets. She's a curator of stringed instruments at the National Music Museum in Vermilion. The museum's Amati King Cello is on exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York through September 8th.